If you have your Bibles, John 14, we have kids camp coming up next month, so that's going to be a lot of fun, and hopefully somebody goes so I don't have to. John chapter 14, we've been in a series on the Holy Spirit, and actually just one more thing, I usually always forget this, and I know one family, I can't say their name because we're live streaming, there are missionaries that we support. Last week, we had part of the same missionary group here that I can't say their name either, but I'll give you a hint. He's really tall, probably the tallest one in the room, and they have a ton of kids, like 15, 16 kids. I can't remember. We lose count. And so, man, would you hug on them and love on them while they're here? They're going to a sensitive country. That's why we can't broadcast their name. And so also there's another special guest here. It's the Scoggins, Brent and Heather Scoggins. Would you just wave at everybody real quick? They're pastors in Morton, and I've used them as an illustration. They don't even know this, but I've used them as a sermon illustration many times on the blessing of the Lord. And when we were doing, we did Youth Alive, and we had to raise our budget, and we lived off faith and all that kind of stuff, as missionaries do. And I'll never forget, it was in December, and we went to Morton to preach. It was our last service of the year, is right before Christmas. And it was a tough season, and we pretty much didn't have anything. I mean, that month we were able to cover all of our bills and all the necessities and things like that. But we had nothing, absolutely nothing, $0 to buy Christmas for our kids. And so we go to Morton to preach, and I enjoyed it. I don't know if I remember it. They may not remember it, but I remember it. And they have a great, alive church. Man, it's a Holy Spirit-filled church. And, you know, we preach and go out to eat, and we're driving out of town, and, you know, they had handed us a check. And I was a little worried because they didn't receive an offering. Whenever you go to a church and they don't receive an offering, that kind of worries the speaker. But we're driving out of town, and Angela was driving. I don't forget, Angela's driving. I pull out the envelope. She's like, well, did they give you a check? I was like, yeah, they did. And so I pull out from my inside pocket of my, I probably wasn't wearing a suit. So it's probably out of my pants. But, and I opened that check up, and they gave us a check for $2,000. And I've never forgotten that. And our kids got Christmas. They didn't get a $2,000 Christmas, but they got Christmas. So they are great friends, and we have a great affection for them. I'm so glad they're here with us in service. So John chapter 14, we're talking about the Holy Spirit. I love talking about the Holy Spirit, don't you? Wasn't last week just awesome? I mean, the preaching was good. The preacher did a good job. But the Holy Spirit came in, and we had a wonderful move of the Holy Spirit last week. It was so refreshing. I mean, it was just a sweet presence of the Holy Spirit. And we just sat, and it really amazed me. I kind of made the announcement. I was like, you know, from this point on, we're just going to soak. I mean, we're not going to have an official closure of service. And I was amazed about how many people stayed and just soaked in the presence of the Lord. Just a sweet, sweet service. And I said at the beginning of this series that I believe that when the Holy Spirit is talked about, I just believe that He shows up. You know, you like to be talked well of, don't you? Don't you like to be spoken well of? I mean, how many of you love it when somebody talks bad about you? Raise your hand. No? Yeah. All you fibbers. They're being honored. They got back from camp. I mean, nobody likes to be talked ill of, but people like being talked well of. When somebody talks well of me, it's like, oh, man, you're my best friend now. You know, and the Holy Spirit, I believe that when we talk about the Holy Spirit scripturally, and welcome and be a host of the Holy Spirit, I believe the Holy Spirit shows up. I think He looks for those atmospheres. And so in this series, we've talked about things like how He was in the beginning. Remember that? In the creation, in the beginning of life coming to man, in the beginning of spiritual life. And we talked about, remember we talked a couple of weeks ago about the Holy Ghost making us fat. Anybody remember that sermon? The Holy Ghost, tell your neighbor, you look fat today. That's the only time you can say that to your wife and get away with it. But because the Bible says in Isaiah 10:27 that because the anointing, it makes us fat, that it breaks the yoke of bondage off of us. And so we want that work of the Holy Spirit in our lives and hearts. Last week we talked about different manifestations and symbols of the Holy Spirit, that of wind and fire and oil and water and wine and those types of things. But this morning what I want to talk about is the person of the Holy Spirit. And so even before we get started, let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this morning and for this crowd that we have here. And I pray, as we always pray, Lord, that you would just, our hearts would be good soil to receive your word. And I pray even more so this morning than ever before, a stirring and a hunger for more of your spirit, for more of you, Lord. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. I said this the first service, the first part of the series, but I kind of want to go in a little deeper this morning, and that is this. I just cannot refer to the Holy Spirit as it. The Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is a person. He's a third person of the Trinity, and we're going to talk about him this morning and his personality and who he is. But in John chapter 14, we're going to read verses 15 and 16, and we're also going to read verses 26. So John chapter 14, it'll be on the screen behind me, John chapter 14. Also, our YouVersion events, if you're following along the notes there, there's notes in your bulletin, notes on our app. You want to follow along, we have all kinds of ways that you can do that. John chapter 14. You know, I almost didn't start off with verse 15, but I just kind of had to, right? I mean, it's not like not part of the sermon, but it's like such a great scripture, such a great verse. If you love me, obey my commandments. I mean, really, we just could pray right now, right? I mean, if you love me, obey my commandments. And he goes on to say, and I'll ask the Father, and he'll give you another advocate. He will never leave you. And then in verse 26, it tells us, but when the Father sends the advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and remind you everything I have told you. And so I want to talk about the person of the Holy Spirit. And just a few things that jump out at me when I read this text and these scriptures is in verse 16 in John chapter 14, we see that he says, who? It didn't say, it will never leave you. He says, who will never leave you? That's fairly important. It also tells us that the Holy Spirit is the Father's, he's going to send us as his representative. His representative. And it also says this. He doesn't say it will teach you or something will teach you. It says he will teach you. I'm really going to drive this point home this morning that the Holy Spirit is a person. When reading the book of Acts, the leaders and members of the early church looked to, interacted with, and depended upon, and spoke of the Holy Spirit. He was a vital part of their lives and involved in everything they did. And that really jumped out at me. If you go through the book of Acts and make a notation or underline of how much the Holy Spirit was involved in the first century church, it was everything they did. He was preeminent in their ministry, outreaches, team gatherings, and strategy meetings, if you would want to use our modern day vernacular. He was always involved in all of their activities. I mean, here's just a few examples about the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. It talks about in Acts chapter 5 and verse 32, we are his witnesses to these things. And what? And so is the whole, so also is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is also. It tells us in Acts chapter 11 and verse 12, the Spirit told me to go with him, talking about a missionary journey. In Acts 13, we see that the apostles were being sent out by the Holy Spirit. And I love, this is one of my favorite ones in Acts 15, 28, because I really think in our day-to-day, in our culture, we really need to get a hold of this one, because I don't think we live by this one as much as we really should. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit in us. I mean, when was the last time you made a decision about your life and went to the Holy Spirit and asked the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, is this a good idea? Now, I'm the one that went to camp last week. You should be a little more alive than that. So, I mean, when's the last time you've done that? When was the last time you were making a decision and it was your prayer? Lord, I just don't want this to seem good to me, but I want to know that it's good with you. I want to know that it's good with the Holy Spirit. For they were forbidden, Acts chapter 16, verse 6, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit. He had authority in this situation to preach the word in Asia. There was a timing of the Lord that was to be perfect. Acts 16, 7, they tried to go, but the Spirit did not permit them. I'm going to tell you, in your life, if you'll become sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit, it's a good thing to hear when he says, don't go there. Don't say that. Don't act that way anymore. Is anybody hearing me this morning? I mean, we talk about the freedom, right? We want the freedom. And I'm going to talk about this in a few more minutes. But the Holy Spirit will put up guardrails in your life that will protect you. Protect you from hurt. Protect you from harm. Paul felt compelled by the Spirit to go over to Macedonia. And Acts 20, 23, the Spirit tells me in city after city. I love that one too. The Holy Spirit was speaking to them and sharing the Father's will with them. And I just want to back up actually just for a moment. I know I've said this before, but I just want to say it again, that when you're looking for direction in your life, when you're looking in your life of how your life should change, or even maybe clean up your act a little bit, or if you're wondering if something is sin or not, or a gray area or anything like that, I'm going to tell you something. If you would bring the Holy Spirit into that equation, he would give you the direction that you need. If you're trying to decide something, if you think there's a gray area, I'm going to tell you, if you would really just surrender the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, I want you just to give me the right direction, I believe that he'll do that. And he does that in many ways. And two of the most, prominent ways is you'll either have a peace about something or you'll have an angst, you know, you'll be uneasy. Inside it'll just kind of be a churning and a war going on. There's so many times I've made a decision because when I brought it to the Lord and I laid it before him and I just had a peace about it, and I thought, you know what, that's the answer, that's the direction. There's been other times I've come to the Lord and it's just been as a really uneasy feeling, and so I don't move in that direction. And so words like these, they repeatedly jump out about his involvement in ministry, his involvement in believers' lives, his involvement in the church. And then my question is the pattern, is that same pattern in the church today? There's kind of a famous quote. A lot of preachers use it, but it was said by A.W. Tozer, and he said this: if the Holy Spirit was withdrawn from the church today, 95% of what we do would go on and no one would know the difference. If the Holy Spirit had been withdrawn from the New Testament church, 95% of what they did would stop and everyone would know the difference. I'm not just addressing the lack in others' lives, but even in my own life. I've told you many times before, there was a forefather of our faith, a preacher, and he preached about being refilled and refilled in the Holy Spirit. And somebody asked him one time, why do you talk about being refilled in the Holy Spirit? And his reply was, because I leak. Right? I mean, man, you can get up in the best mood, boy. I mean, you can jump out of bed and be like, man, this is the day the Lord has made. Woo! Right? And it's like, man, it's going to be a great day. And then the coffee maker's broke. If you're in Odessa, you probably came out to your car being on blocks with all your tires being gone. Right? Or a flat tire. We'll make it simple. You know what it seems like? Anything, you know, you're driving to work and you get a ticket. Right? It just seems like all those things just draw that out of you, doesn't it? We must ask for a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. I just want to make some upfront statements, especially about with us and the church. What if we didn't have the Holy Spirit? What if we didn't have involvement in church and in life? And I'm going to tell you, without the Holy Spirit, there would be no Christian life. I mean, you remember what I talked about, right, a few weeks ago in John chapter 20? I think it's such a powerful truth to talk about again just for a moment. That when in John 20, when Jesus breathed on those disciples, the Bible says, he breathed on them the Holy Spirit. I believe that's when those disciples, that new creation took root in their life. In essence, that's when they got saved, so to speak. And the benefit to Christ leaving when he ascended and the promise of the Father coming is that we don't have to go to Jesus to get here physically to get the Holy Spirit, but he's already been poured out. Does that make sense? And so people all over the earth, we can get saved because of the Holy Spirit. We can be new creations because of the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, Christianity is dry and monotonous and mundane. Well, there's a lot of things I want to say right now. I mean, I don't know if you, I tell you what, I will say this, that I was young, I was in my early 20s, and I was having a complaining session before the Lord, right? And it was over my own church, and I was praying to God, and I was like, God, I was like, our church is so dead, you know? I was like, where's the life? And, you know, I'm just going on like this, and I mean, the Holy Spirit just spoke to my heart, and he said, don't you dare ever call something dead that I came to bring life to. And I know sometimes that, you know, services all tend to have their different personalities and churches all tend to have their different personalities. But if you want life to come into a church, the best way for that life to come in is for that life to flow out of you. Because the Bible says, out of my inmost being shall flow rivers of living water. And so maybe you've complained about our church or some other church, and I would dare say, look in the mirror. That's good preaching, amen? Without the Holy Spirit, our labor, this thing, our mission here on this planet is draining and wearisome. It tires us. It exhausts us. But we have been given promises like Romans chapter 8 and verse 11 that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is also at work within us. And that Holy Spirit, he will energize, he will quicken our mortal bodies. Without the Holy Spirit, there is no fellowship with God. Remove the Holy Spirit from a church, and two things are going to happen. One is it will morph into a social club. And two, it becomes a religious institution and not an organism. I don't know about you, church, but I'm grateful for friendships. I am. I'm grateful for backyard barbecues. We had a great time last Sunday night, by the way. If you came with Atkins, our graduation party. I love those times of just us coming together. But we are not first a social club. We're a place, we're a sanctuary for the hurting and the lost and the broken and the addicted and the afflicted and the sick to come into this place and to find ministry from the Holy Spirit to get life into them. That's our number one purpose. We have to have the Holy Spirit for that. The truth is this, there is no revelation without the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit shedding light and illuminating the path and giving us direction and speaking truth to us. How about, let's think about this verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6. He has enabled us. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. He has enabled us to become ministers of his new covenant. This is a covenant not written of written laws, but of the Spirit. The old written covenant ends in death, but under the new covenant, the Spirit does what? He gives life. That same life that God breathed into Adam's nostrils, that same breath that Jesus breathed into disciples, is the same breath being blowed upon you this morning, that wind of the Holy Spirit that brings life to us. There's no vision without the Holy Spirit. We're going to finish talking about Acts. We talked about Acts 2 last week. In a couple of weeks, we're going to pick back up. But in Acts 2, Peter refers back to Joel 2, which says this: "Then after doing all these things, I will pour out my Spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions." I don't know about you, but I'm ready for some dreams from the Holy Spirit. I'm ready for some visions from the Holy Spirit. Some gifts of the Holy Spirit in operation in this building and with this body of believers outside of this building that would prophesy to somebody, that would speak a word of knowledge to somebody, that would speak a word of wisdom to somebody, that operate in the gifts of faith and miracles. Romans 14, 17, we see this. Without the Holy Spirit, there's no joy or peace. We have to have the Holy Spirit to have joy and peace. Romans 14, 17, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat or drink, but living a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." There's no, and this is where I want to land this morning. There is no freedom without the Holy Spirit. There is no freedom without the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17, "For the Lord is Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." How many have heard that verse before? You've heard that verse before? Such an awesome promise, isn't it? But many times I try to give you a picture how my mind works, and I just want to give you of what I process when I read this scripture. "For the Lord is Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." This is talking about the Holy Spirit. We talked about those different names of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, and different names. But when I see these words, "wherever the Spirit of the Lord is," let's just think this through. Because what we also have talked about before, you're going to see how this kind of builds together, is that God's Spirit is omnipresent, right? What does that mean? That means that He's everywhere all the time. The Bible tells us that in several places that the glory of the Lord fills the earth, Isaiah 61, and also in Revelations. We see in Psalm 139:7, David writes this: "I can never escape from your Spirit. I can never get away from your presence." You know there's people that try to do that, right? Have you ever been one of those people that try to do that? You know when the altar call is being given, you go to the bathroom? Amen. Yeah, I just said that. I remember my mom would make me go to church. Oh, and that, man, the Spirit of God would start moving. Man, I had to find somewhere to go to try to get out of that place, right? I mean, some of us have been there and lived there. And have you ever heard this statement? I was thinking about this morning. Growing up, I remember this being said in different ways and fashions and forms, but, just that where God wasn't, like if there was something really bad going on, and somebody said, "Well, God ain't there, God, God don't go to no bars." Hello? I've heard statements like that, but yet, when I look at Scripture, it tells me the glory of the Lord is everywhere. That He's omnipresent. Now let's add another piece to this. Let's add it together. I mean, the Bible also, in the Message, Psalm 139. Can I go anywhere where the Spirit of God is not? The answer is emphatically nowhere. If I climb to the sky, you're there. If I go underground, you're there. If I flew on the morning's wings to the far western horizon, you'd find me in a minute. You're already there waiting. I believe that the Lord's presence, the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, is everywhere. Remember, Jesus said that the Holy Spirit is among you, but He's fixing to be in you, John 14:26. So the next question is, If the Spirit of the Lord is everywhere, if God is omnipresent, then is there the impact of freedom everywhere? I would suggest that there's not. You know, somebody that is bound to alcoholism is not free. Somebody who's bound to pornography is not free. Are you with me? Somebody who is, lost in the depths of sin and surrounded by sin, and whether it be an addiction or just lost, they do not have freedom in their life. Look at Paul's words. Wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we've already talked about it, and I think even proven, that the Spirit of God is everywhere. So again, is there freedom everywhere? I do not see the impact of freedom everywhere. There isn't freedom in every single place in people's lives and areas and streets and homes. I've been in neighborhoods and schools and homes and even churches where there was no freedom. So what is the promise here? How should we understand this? I think it's this way. Listen to me very carefully. Wherever the Spirit is Lord, that's where there's freedom. Are you following me? Wherever the Spirit is Lord, that's where there is freedom. The Greek word here for Lord is defined as a supreme authority. For there to be truly freedom in your life, then the Lord really must be Lord. Did I lose everybody? Are you still with me? If the Spirit of the Lord is in you and He is really Lord, then you're going to have freedom. It's just like that promise in Isaiah 10:27. If the anointing of God is working inside of you, that it's going to break that yoke of bondage off of you. Why? Because of what God is doing on the inside of you. For it is God that works in you to will and to act according to His good pleasure. Amen. In the same way with the Spirit of the Lord, there's a lot of people that are doing this, the lip service. But is He really Lord? I'm going to tell you, if He's really the Lord of your life, you're walking in freedom. If you have bondage in some area of your life, are you still with me, right? I would dare suggest that there's an area of your life where He is not Lord. The Holy Spirit is not permitted in those places where that bondage is wanted, where He is welcomed, listen to me, where He is welcomed as supreme authority is where you'll find freedom. Is where you'll find freedom. The Holy Spirit is a person. Let's talk about a few things real quick. Are you still with me? Say amen. We'll know that you're awake. Okay. So one thing is that Him as a person, the person of the Holy Spirit, is that He will teach you. This is important. He will teach you. The Bible tells in John 14:26, is actually one of the verses we read earlier, but when the Father sends the advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, He will what? He will teach you. He will teach you everything and remind you everything I've told you. I've shared this before. I met a man one time when I was, it was right when I was entering ministry. And it was like back in the day, right, where, I was like one of only a couple of car wash companies, a mobile car washing. And so was out trying to get business. And I walk into this guy's, my business partner, he was running from God. It was really a divine appointment. It's a whole long story. But we go into this guy's business, right, And I walked in, I was like, oh, there's something different about this place. You just felt it. You ever walked in a room like that? It's like, there's something good in this house, right? And so he walks up, and he and me looks at my business partner, and looks at him and says, you're running from God. I was like, ooh. Get him. And so he starts telling his testimony. And man, it's just amazing. I cannot take time to tell the whole testimony, But at the end of it, we're talking, and it was just kind of me and him talking, and he said, man, he said, you know, when I got saved, I couldn't read. I could not read at all. And I was laying in bed one night, and so I just kind of sort of called to God, and because I've been hearing from a preacher how important it was to read my Bible, well, I couldn't read, and I was too embarrassed to tell anybody that I couldn't read. And so I'm laying in my bed, and I just called out to God. I said, God, I need you to teach me how to read. I want to be able to read your word. And so this is how this guy learned how to read. Every night he would lay down, and he would open up his Bible, and he would hear the voice of the Holy Spirit in his heart, and the Holy Spirit would read him the Bible. Okay, they might not impress you. I've been watching too many movies or something. That's pretty neat. And that's how we learn to read. I'm going to tell you something. If you need to be taught something, the Holy Spirit can teach you. He can do it. He can bring you the revelation. You're reading those pages on that, those words on that pages, and you're not understanding what you're reading. Just ask the Holy Spirit. He's a teacher, and he wants to teach you. He'll guide you, the Bible tells us. He'll guide you. John 16:13, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. Why is it important to be guided into all truth? Because why? We shall know the truth. And the truth what? The truth sets us free. The Holy Spirit will guide us in the truth so we can have freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. He will not speak on his own authority, but tell you what he's heard. He will tell you about the future. It really jumped out of me, and I really believe this, and I think it's important. Is another thing is that he will not speak on his own authority. He will not speak on his own authority. The Bible tells us in John 16:13, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority. He takes what he hears from the Father, and he makes it known to you. For eye has not seen, nor is entered the ear heard, nor is entered the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love him. But it will be revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. Is anybody with me? For just like the man knows himself, I'm paraphrasing a little bit, 1 Corinthians 2:9. But it's the Spirit of God that knows the depths of God. And it's God's heart for you to know the depths of his heart. And that's why he doesn't speak on his own authority. He wants to reveal to you the heart of the Father concerning you. If some of you were to see yourself the way that God sees you, that alone would change your life. Whatever he hears, he will speak. I mean, again, it tells us, right after that, he will not speak on his own authority. John 16:13. But whatever he hears, he will speak. Why is these things important? And here's what I believe. And here's what we're going to wrap up with this morning. Is when we looked in this text in John 14:26. So I'm talking about the person of the Holy Spirit. The person of the Holy Spirit. When we read John 14:26, but when the Father sends the advocate as my representative. You see, everything that the Holy Spirit is, God is, right? I mean, everything the Holy Spirit is, God is. God wants to lead you. He wants to guide you. He wants to comfort you. He wants to teach you. He wants to do all these things for you. And he has sent the Holy Spirit to bring us that enlightenment and that revelation and confirm that in our hearts. But listen to me this morning, church. What we need to understand is that the Holy Spirit has a voice. And he's speaking to you what God is speaking. The Holy Spirit has a will, and it's in perfect alignment with the Father. The Holy Spirit has emotions and has things like love and joy, just like our Father does. And the Holy Spirit, he wants to comfort and he wants to teach. And the Holy Spirit can be made to feel sorrow. We can break his heart and we can insult him. We can resist him and we can even lie to the Holy Spirit. But I want you to understand that God, the Father, has sent him to be a special gift for you, to be an advocate, to be a comforter, to be a teacher, because every person has a personality. And it's the personality of the Holy Spirit to meet you right where you are. When I think about this, I'm reminded of the burning bush. Why would I be reminded of the burning bush? I'm reminded of the burning bush because that's where, you know, the burning bush is going on. It's holy ground, this encounter between God and Moses. And God, you know, he's telling, hey, I want you to go deliver my people from Egypt. And I believe when we look at the Old Testament, what we find over and over and over and over again is God revealing the nature of himself, revealing who he is, that he's the Lord God, our healer, is one of those revelations, that he's the Lord God, our provider, when it was Abraham and Isaac on the mountain. And we see it to Gideon, the Lord God, our banner. We see it happen over and over and over, of God revealing a part of himself. And he did that with Moses. And do you remember what he said? I mean, Moses asked, he said, God, you know, what? Who am I going to tell him? I mean, what's your name? Who am I say sent me? And God responded and said, you tell them I am that I am. I am that I am. And a very simple translation of really what that means is God was saying, my people need a deliverer, so I'm going to be their deliverer. You see, I am that I am, who God is. I, with all of my heart, I believe this. Is that God is to us whatever we need when we need him to be it. And when he says, I am that I am, I think that's what that represents. And so he has sent the Holy Spirit to be to you what you need him to be. Not what you want him to be, not what you want. Are you following this morning? But what you need. You need direction? He'll be the counselor. You need freedom? He'll be the Lord of your life. You need the truth of, to understand the truth of Scripture? He'll teach you. You don't know where you're at a place. You don't know what direction to go. You don't know what decision to make, and you're surrounded by confusion. He'll guide you. Are you hearing me this morning? I want to be the person that is just not lip service, but I really want you to be my Lord. Be the Lord of my life, Holy Spirit. Be the Lord of my life. Where the Spirit is Lord, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. I'm going to ask you to stand this morning.